Good morning, everyone. After Slichas and Shachris, and he's still coming to a shir. I'm feeling not. The Maisa, if Mashiach doesn't come before Yom Kippur, if he doesn't come before this Wednesday, then we're going to lose a tremendous, tremendous event. That means, we all know Yom Kippur as being one of the most elevating days of the year. A day of Kedusha, a day of Ruchnias. But whatever we have is only a tiny, tiny hint of what Yom Kippur could really be. What Yom Kippur was like in the Beis HaMikdash. The tremendous Avodah, the Nisim, the whole Avodah that existed. I remember one saying a Shir, and the person put it like this. You learn Maseches Yoma. 8 Prokim in Maseches Yoma. You only start talking about the Yom Kippur that we have nowadays at the 8th Perek. The first 7 Prokim are all devoted to the Avodah of the Kohen Gadol and Yom Kippur in the Beis HaMikdash. I mean, 7/8 were missing. And it's even more than that, Bemis, because even the 8th Perek mentions a lot about Yom Kippur. But the fact is that Yom Kippur in the Beis HaMikdash was an event which one could spend hours, one perhaps should spend hours contemplating what it was like. There's always a concept of a neshama pom sforseinu, that if a person is not able to recite the mitzvah properly himself, if he talks about the mitzvah and he discusses it, then what happens is, it's as if he's kept the mitzvah. Neshama pom sforseinu. Now, many people might think, well, the Avodah was for the Kohen Gadol. The Kohen Gadol was one individual. What about a Yisrael, a Levi, or a Kohen who's not a Kohen Gadol? He's not really, so to speak, missing out on the Avodah of Yom Kippur. Anyway, what would I be doing there? What would I actually be doing there, Yisrael? All I'd be doing is be watching. But in my sir, that's not accurate. Because Chazal, even Yuma, mentioned that all of Klal Yisrael came together and came to the Beis HaMikdash to get there. By the time it was early, early morning, the Beis HaMikdash would be packed. And that coming together to the Beis HaMikdash, that in itself was a tremendous event. And that in itself, if Mashiach doesn't come, we will have lost. And I'd like to speak today about this concept, which Be'emes is more halachically the Aliyah LeRegel, the Chiyuv. The absolute obligation to go to the Beis HaMikdash for Aliyah LeRegel was only on Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkot. But the fact is, Chazal tells us, Mor tells us, that Klal Yisrael would also come for Yom Kippur as well. The Cholom would hear the Shemam first, would come Mishlach, everybody would come to listen and come to join in. So there was a maimed, there was an event of Klal Yisrael coming to the Beis HaMikdash. And we're hoping that by speaking about it, we should be zeicha Aleph to see it, to experience it, to actually keep the mitzvah before him. And if not that, at least that we should be zeicher to learn some of the lessons that they gained from it, and as if we have kept the mitzvah itself. Now the pasuk in Shir Hashirim, Perek Zayin, pasuk Beis, is a whole pasuk to describe that event. That what happened is, the pasuk describes the greatness of Klal Yisrael as they walked to the Beis HaMikdash. Pasuk says, Mayofu for Mayich Ban Olim, how beautiful are your footsteps in the shoes. Bas Nodiv, a nation of nobility, a daughter of nobility. Chamukke Yerechayich, your hidden thighs. Kemoy Chaloim, or like jewelry. Beautiful ornaments. Maase Yedei Omon, the handwork, the handiwork of a craftsman. It's a difficult pasuk of Moshe Shir Hashem to explain and translate, but this is the pasuk I'd like to focus on, to see what we can learn. The pasuk says, how beautiful are your footsteps and shoes. And Rashi says that the goyim say to Klal Yisrael, we see how beautiful you are. We wish that we would be part of you. The goyim were jealous of Klal Yisrael, that they had this special mitzvah of Aliyah LeRegel. And they saw our beauty. that you went up to the Beis HaMikdash, how beautiful it is, if only we could get a small part of it. How beautiful are your footsteps in the shoes. It's a short story. Yitzchak Zilberstein was asked by a shoe, somebody opened up a shoe shop in Bnei Brak. There's a minhag sometimes, you ask the Rav to be the one to put up the mezuzah. It says, Rocha. So Yitzchak Zilberstein put up the mezuzah in the shoe shop in Bnei Brak. And he made a short rosh, and he said, I give you a bracha that you should be zeicha to surely start selling multicolored shoes. Shoes of all different colors. And there was a drip, total silence. What kind of bracha is that? I give you a bracha that you should start selling shoes, multicolored shoes. Now, even in Manchester, most people are wearing black. I can't see anybody wearing anything but black here. What does he mean, multicolored shoes? So there was silence, he waited for somebody. Nobody knew. Did anybody know what he meant, multicolored shoes? So there's a chazal. That when Klal Yisrael did Aliyah LeRegel, they would wear colorful shoes. Because they're Kedivan, you would learn the halachas of Sukkah, Hidu Mitzvah. Hidu Mitzvah means that when you do a mitzvah, you have to beautify it as well as you can. The mitzvah of Aliyah LeRegel was to walk to the Beis HaMikdosh. So they would wear beautifully colored shoes in order to beautify the mitzvah.
They would wear the shoes, so what's the point?
In the Harbais, but till the Harbais, the mitzvah of Aliyah LeRegel was till the Harbais, all the walking. Okay, we'll come. It's an unbelievable thing. So he gave him a bracha to the shoe shop, to the one who owns the shoe shop. You should be zeicha to surely start selling beautifully colored shoes. And the tziv, in the Sefer Vina Shoteh, is a very important point. The pasuk says, "Bayofu for mayich ban olim, how beautiful are your footsteps and shoes." Now you think about it. That footsteps means walking. How beautiful are your footsteps? You walk into the Arbais. Now many people lived hundreds of miles away. And it's all not huge, it's not like a biggest America, but the fact is, it's still, you can walk. If you ever tried in the summer holidays, you walk a mile, fine, 2 miles, 10 miles, it starts getting difficult, 20, you'll feel it the next day. And here, the pasuk says, "Mayofu for mayich banolim." Why didn't they walk on a horseback? Why didn't they take a wagon? The pasuk over here emphasizes that Klal Yisrael literally walked step by step to the Har HaBayis. And he's ma'arich about this point. I want him to talk about this a little bit as well. What does it mean that Klal Yisrael walked to the Har HaBayis? They walked to the Beis HaMikdash. And that's what we said, Hidu Mitzvah, the Hidu Mitzvah, the Targum says, they used to wear sandalin de Saskoino. Saskoino was this multicolored clothes. That's the shoes they would wear. Why did they walk? Why not take a horse? Especially, he put it like this. Poor people couldn't afford a horse. In the olden days, a horse was like having a car. Not everybody can afford a car. But at least the wealthy people should take a wagon, a horse, get there much quicker. One of the ideas was that we wanted to create an achdus in Klal Yisrael. If there'd be some people going by horse and some people by foot, it wouldn't be a unity. It wouldn't be a unity. There wouldn't be an achdus as they walked. Furthermore, there would be a certain hergesh, there would be a feeling. Some people would feel, look at him, he can walk, he can go on a horse, I have to walk. They wanted to be an achdus. And because of that, they all walk together. And it's very worthwhile, you look in the Medrash, it describes the beauty of what that means. Imagine what it was like millions of Yidden, all shapes and sizes, young, old, men and women, children. They would walk to the Beis HaMikdash together in Achdus, complete unity, in Kedusha, in Tahara, Simcha, tremendous, tremendous joy. Many times you see a huge gathering. People have been to different events, you see a very big gathering. But these are all pale comparisons compared to this. We talk about Klal Yisrael walking by Achdus with a tremendous Simcha, and all walk together with Kedusha and Tahara. Everybody walked to the Torah, they were all Mikhail Mitzvahs, going to the Beis HaMikdash. So one of the reasons that they did not use a more easier form of transport was they wanted to walk together. They wanted to be a complete achdus. And this is something we can learn from, because the Maaser, Chazal tell us that the Melochim look down on Klal Yisrael and Yom Kippur, and they're very, very nispoil. They're amazed. They say, there's no eating, there's no drinking, they're living with everybody's toy, everybody's been to mikveh. And the Medrash describes the spilus, the tremendous wonder that the Malachim have of Klal Yisrael. If you look in the Medrash, it's more than the places that a big emphasis is v'ein b'nem lo sinov lo tachavus v'lo kinov. They don't have hatred, they don't have jealousy, they don't have competition between them. Now what happens is the Malachim look down and they say, You're like us. Because it's a day when Klal Yisrael are working completely be'achdus. It's part of the minhag of Klal Yisrael that everybody asks each other mechira. People try to call each other. There's a huge emphasis, an effort that we're coming to Yom Kippur be'achdus. And because of this achdus, says the Netziv, they preferred to take that difficult, long walk rather than some people should go on a wagon and some people should walk. There's another idea. Chazal tell us, that when they would go to Yerushalayim, Kimitziyon Teitzeitzoyo, Odvar Hashem Yerushalayim, they would go to the Beis HaMikdash. Part of it was a huge aliyah ruchni, a tremendous spiritual elevation. They would go to the Kayanim, they would see the Nisim in the Beis HaMikdash first, so they would see the open Nisim. And besides the Nisim, they would hear Torah from the Sanhedrin, and the Kayanim, Kisisei Chonish Mudas, the Torah of Action Appeal, the Kayanim would tell the Yidden what things need to work on harder. It was going to hear Torah and Yirah Shemayim, that's what they went for. The Gemara tells us that in the olden days, people didn't have a school system. When you wanted to learn Torah, you would take your child to Yerushalayim with a Ma'aseh Sheni, and that would open your son's heart to start learning Torah. Eventually, it wasn't able, so the Rav Shimon Galo made our whole school system. But going to Yerushalayim was for the purpose of gaining Torah, gaining Musa, gaining Yerushalayim. If a person goes in a horse and carriage, which in those days was like going today in an expensive car, what's an expensive car? A Previa, a steamer maybe. Belmaiso, I don't know what the Maiso, that's the car that I have, Baruch Hashem. Lemaiso, if you go in such an expensive item, you go there, you go to a certain gaiva, a certain covert. And when that happens, you're not listening with the same way. When a person goes after walking with a certain humility, then what happens is open up to hear on a much better level. Therefore, they didn't want to go in style. They walked. For days they would walk, perhaps for weeks, in order that the whole time they were thinking, I'm going to hear Dvar Hashem, I'm going to hear Torah, I'm going to hear Musa. And then this is something we can learn a very lot from. You know, the Chassidim will go taka to the Rebbe, those who are not Chassidim go to the Rav. But a person has to be aware that over the days, Yom Nevoim, Sukkos, yeah, a lot of Torah, a lot of Musa, a lot of Chizuk. And there are two kinds of people. There are some people that come into the Shul with an open mind, they want to hear, what can I be better? There's certain humility, with a lot of humility. There's something I can correct. What did the Rav say, Shabbos Shuvah? What was the emphasis that I need to work on? Some people come in, I know it all, I've done it all right. And with a certain gaiva, when they come to the gaiva, they don't hear, the taka don't hear the words. It goes straight off the back. So the Pasuk of here emphasizes, they walked because they wanted to walk with anava, with anivus, with humility. And that's why they didn't go by horseback, or they didn't go by wagon. So he said, so far, one idea was the achdus, the tremendous unity that Klal Yisrael should have. Not everybody could afford a horse, they walked. Another idea is the humility that they should be ready. And there's another reason. Another reason they walked was they wanted schar pesias, the reward for every footstep that they would get. If you go on a horse, it takes very, very quickly. If you go by footstep, it's much more effort. And Chazal tell us that a person gets schar for every step that a person does. The Gemara in Sota tells us that Rabbi Yochanan once saw an almana, and she would walk to a shul far away from her home. And what happened was, he asked her, don't you have a shul nearby? She said, yes, but I want to get schar pesias, the reward of the footsteps. The Maharal in the Sefer Nesiv HaAvoda discusses this concept. And he asks a question. It's very interesting to think about. He says like this, imagine you've got two sukkahs, one nearby and one far away. Which sukkah should you go to? What would you say? Which sukkah should you go to? Closer one. So what's the difference between that and shuls? Well, it starts off, and I saw the Bisk Hutlin and Rosh Hashanah and Pachad Yitzchak, get a chance to look at it, Mamre Gimur, because a whole arichus to this. Tefillah is a different thing from any other mitzvah. That's what he says. Tefillah is lamud lifnei Hashem, to go and stand in front of Hashem. You do a mitzvah, so what difference does it make? You take a sukkah here, a sukkah. Of course you should go to the nearby sukkah. What are you going to gain, says Marab, by going to a faraway sukkah? You're not going to gain. The mitzvah is not going to be a better mitzvah. If you walk 20 minutes to the sukkah far away, you've got a mitzvah outside your house. Of course you should go to the sukkah next to your house. So why by davening should you walk to the furthest shul possible? Because by davening you're walking to be in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Obviously, if a person's got something, another mitzvah to do, but we'll talk about an almana, She didn't have many mitzvahs that she had available. It is a mitzvah. Every footstep is another mitzvah. If a person got a choice to take a car to walk, he should walk if he can get to shul on time. There's no question that walking you get more rewards. Schar pesias. Schar pesias is a reward for every step you take towards shul. He said, I'll try to say a little bit to how he says it. If somebody says to you, if you give somebody a gift, right? Give him a gift, a safe bar mitzvah present. It makes very little difference whether you bought it from a shop nearby or a shop far away. It's not going to make him happier if you bought it from a shop further. It makes no difference to him. You give him a gift, fine. It depends how what valuable the gift might make him happier. But where you got it from, it's not going to make him happier. But if you go to visit somebody, imagine somebody comes to you. He came all the way from Gator to visit you. So then you feel, wow, you know, that he cares, he wants to connect with me. If he comes from next door to visit you, you don't feel that he cares that much to visit you. Davening is an entire different avoider from all the other mitzvahs. And because the Beis HaMikdash, ki beisi beis tefillah yikoy l'cholo amim, the Beis HaMikdash is a beis tefillah, a place of davening. And since it's a place of davening, so therefore every footstep was another reward, another mitzvah. And therefore they chose to walk by foot, as we explained. Walking by foot was a tremendous challenge to gain that. Chazal tell us more brachas that from Zulus of Ne'adam, that certain things are oimdim v'rumoy shel oilam, they stand at the top of the world, Ne'adam is zazen in bohem, and people treat with not with that respect. And what is that? Tefillah. Tefillah is something which is oimd v'rumoy shel oilam, and people unfortunately are not machshevit. I saw that they've got to be in the Matnas Chaim, my mom base, that he brings the Ma'bit. The Ma'bit says that every time a person davens, he's immediately guaranteed two things. He's guaranteed that he'll get rewarded by HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the effort of davening. So imagine a person says, and he thinks about it for half a second, 2 seconds. He's immediately guaranteed that he'll be rewarded. You made an effort to daven. And says the Ma'bit is also guaranteed that his tefillah will be accepted. He says like this, imagine Reuven davens for Shimon to get better. He's guaranteed that refuah will come. How? Not necessarily to Shimon. He might make himself better. He might make his children better. He might make Shimon's children better. Somebody that he cares about, the more refuah will come into this world. And he says, this is not something which is perhaps, but this is something which is 100% every time a person davens. And we're going to spend hours and hours davening. We've spent about the hours and hours. I'm going to spend more time davening. You have to be aware of the chashivos of the tefillah. I saw a story recently which gave me a lot of chizuk. I'll just say it very briefly because there was two people traveling home a late Thursday night. They come back to the house and on the way they see a shul with the lights on at 2 o'clock in the morning. So one of them says to the other, you know, wait in the car, we're going to go in to turn off the lights. It's ridiculous, 2 o'clock in the morning, nobody there. It's a chaval, it's a waste of electricity. He walks into the shul and he actually finds these two people there. There's a bacha sitting and learning and somebody there knows vaguely. And the person looks like he's been crying. So he goes up to the person. Are you okay? Is everything all right? So the person first pushes him aside. He says, Tikkun chatzos, Tikkun chatzos. So he says, no, you know, well, tell me what's wrong. He says, I'll tell you what happened is I've got no money at all for months. And what happened was tonight, Thursday night, my wife was bathing the children. And we ran out of shampoo. And I couldn't afford to buy another bottle. And he said, my children went to bed without eating a proper supper, without no real food. And without having the hair washed for Shabbos. And my wife suddenly lost it. For months she's not said anything. Suddenly she really lost it. She said, what kind of father are you? This is what you care about, your children. Your children should go to Shabbos smelling. And either going to bed hungry. And she slammed the bedroom door shut. I'm not talking to you until you show yourself to be a real father. Fine. I had nothing, got no money. So I've come to shul to daven. Anyway, the person heard about it. He felt terrible. He didn't have much money himself. He said, no, let me go home. See what I can find. You know, I'm sure I can find, if not a fresh bottle, at least I started something, I can bring you a bottle, something that you should be able to go home to your wife. Okay. He's very, very grateful. He says, I'll wait here for you. He goes back into the car, he tells his friend what's happened. His friend says, no, don't go home and pick up a few starter things, that's not nice. Let's go together to a shop and buy him a Shabbos, we'll buy him everything, challah, wine, filter fish, the whole lot. They decided that between the two of them, they'll spend 300 shekel, 150 shekel each, about 30, 40 pounds each, to really treat him, they should come home, to make the whole, The problem is, 2 o'clock in the morning on Thursday night, they can't find a single shop open. Driving around, eventually they see this huge shop open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. They don't know what to do. On one hand, 7 days a week at Seoul is openly Mechalel Shabbos with a Hesiyam. On the other hand, they've got somebody waiting there crying in shul. They decide they'll go, they've got no choice, they quickly go into the shop, and they load up a massive trolley, everything they can possibly find, come to the checkout, and they start loading into bags. This was before the 10 pence bags. So they took loads of bags. And as they're coming into the car, you suddenly notice on every bag, it says, open 24 hours, 7 days a week. Open Lichil Shabbos. So they feel uncomfortable to go and deliver these kinds of bags. You know, so they empty from the bags into the car and they throw the bags into a bin nearby. And they've got like a massive mess in the boot. A man comes up to them and says to them, I don't understand what you're doing. Why? What have you done? What's wrong with the bags? You know, what are you worried about? So they say to him, they should explain to him that, you know, well, that this, imagine you have a father and somebody would be, you know, treat him disrespectfully and you would publicly announce it. Would you carry a sign saying such a thing? This shop openly declares that it's open on Shabbos. So the man says to him, if that's the case, why did you come to my shop? Why did you come to my shop? So they realize he's the owner of the shop. So they say to him, well, we didn't want to come to your shop, but we had no choice. We've got a friend, they tell him the story. Anyway, he's very, very misrakish. And he says that we should just know that I used to learn with the Chavrusa from Lev Lachim. And about 6 months ago, I wasn't feeling so well, so I cancelled for a week, then I cancelled for another week. And then immediately, the whole thing stopped. For 6 months, I haven't learned a single thing. I haven't kept anything, nothing at all. Tonight, I was going to bed, and I said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know, this is not the way I want to live. But it's very hard for me to get out of my rut. Do me a favor, send me a sign that I should be better. So I came to the shop hoping to meet somebody to see something. And I watched you from the distance. I'm watching you emptying the bags and making this whole mess. And I thought to myself, which kind of fools am I dealing with? But when I hear your story, I promise you I'll close the shop on Shabbos and give me your friend's bank account details. I want to send him my Maisa money. And the story carries on. It was closed for Shabbos. They used to get a lot of pleasure when they walked past. You see the tremendous kerach tefillah. A person goes to shul to daven. He's got nothing, nothing to eat, no shampoo. And he's zeicher to constant income. Person davens to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to give him a chizuk, he goes to shul, and he gets, we have to be machshiv tefillah more. And here Chazal tells us, the Pasuk tells us that they would walk to the Beis HaMikdash, they would walk by Yofa V'Maichman Olim. I want to get a few more points. Let me exactly, this is something we just said. This Pasuk describes that event of Aliyah L'Rega. We can't possibly imagine what Aliyah L'Rega was. Imagine the maimed, the actual event of walking together, thousands upon thousands of people, with all such achdos, with such kedusha, with such preparation to come to hear Hashem. And with anivos, with tremendous humility, they would walk. Now the Pasuk is on my offer for my banolim, bas nodiv. Bas nodiv, Chazal discussed this more on Sukkah. What does it mean, bas nodiv? What does that mean? And there's many mafoshim, but the Pasuk Pshat is a nation of nobility. Nodiv, 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 ativ techub in divim, don't trust a nobleman. Nodiv is a noble person. So, a nation of nobility. That is the simple translation. And again, the Sefer Vino Shatir is at this point. We've just been discussing for a few minutes how Klal Yisrael walked with tremendous anivus, humility. They walked. Walking for days makes a person feel humble. And the Apostle continues, Bas Nodiv, a nation of noblemen. What's going on? And over here, there's a very choshev yisod, which is a big preparation for Yom Kippurim. Is that there's a huge difference between anivus and lowliness, shiflus, feeling low with a person. Klal Yisrael walked to the Beis HaMikdash with humility, with anivus, but not with a feeling of lack of importance, not with a feeling of lowliness. They walked with tremendous pride that at the end of the day, they are a nation descended from Avraham Yitzchak V'Yaakov, that's one pshat, but not of descended from Avraham Avinu. And they were a nation that are going to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That understanding the chiluk, between what is true and nivus, and between shiflus lowliness, is a very big mockum to understand how to come to Yom Kippur. The Mishnah always says, "Ati rosha b'fnei atzbucha," a person should not consider himself a rosha. So the Raman Pirush Mishnah writes a very sharp words. He says, if a person considers themselves a rosha, there's no aveira that they will not do. It's only when a person realizes that he has something of value that he's able to fight the Yetzer. If you think about it, Moshe Rabbeinu, the Pasuk tells Moshe, Onam Mikol Adam, he was the greatest Onam in the whole world. Now we know that one of the Yud Gimel Ikrim is that there's no Navi like Moshe, not before and not after. And Moshe Rabbeinu obviously knew this, he believed in Yud Gimel Ikrim. And however much we understand that Ikrim, he understood it much, much, much greater. What Moshe Rabbeinu understood was that nobody ever before or after will ever come as close to him to speaking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And there's many other Pasukim, the end of the Zosabocha and Pashas. The Pasuk said, you didn't speak to my Abdi, but Moshe, Pel, Pel, Dabber Boy, Moshe Rabbeinu knew his greatness. So what does it mean that he was the most humble? The answer is that the yesod of anivus is the feeling that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given it to me. And it's a gift from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. A person who feels he's got very lot in life, very grateful to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but he recognizes that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is one who gave it to him. The more anivus he has, the more gratitude he has to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the closer he feels to Hashem. A person who feels that he has no worth, that he's got nothing good about himself, the more he thinks about it, the further away he goes from Hashem. Because he thinks, Hashem, you're not giving me anything. What have I good? I'm not good at this, I'm not good at that. I've done this bad. I'm a failure. So he doesn't feel any gratitude to Hashem. A person who feels a huge success, but he realizes that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one who gave it to him. So what happens is, he's grateful to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He brings him closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He makes him feel more and more grateful. And what happens is, he's able at the same time to walk with a feeling that I'm ready to hear Dvar Hashem, but Bas Nodiv, but who am I? I'm Bas Nodiv, I'm descended from Yitzchak v'Yaakov. That means the difference between Shiflus and Anivus is like this. Anivus is recognizing that a person has tremendous greatness. Every person, Bishvili Nivo Olam, every person's got Neshomo, every person's got Krichas, which HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave them. Tremendous Krichas. Shiflus, a person who lowliness, is a belief that a person doesn't have Krichas, doesn't have talents, doesn't have success. Shiflus, the Rambam writes, which says nothing worse because it destroys a person's ability to turn around to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and serve Him. And Nivus brings a person closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What it does is it makes a person feel more and more grateful. It also changes how he relates to other people, those who have more than him, those who have less than him. A person who recognizes it's all a gift from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, those that have more than him, he recognizes Hashem just chose to give them more. They, for whatever reason, they needed that more. Hashem chose to give me that much. Those who have less, he doesn't look down upon. Because he realizes, just because I've got more, Moshe Rabbeinu knew that he was the greatest Navi. But he realized that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had given him kriches which others didn't have. So when he treated somebody else, he treated everybody with tremendous, tremendous covered respect. It changes the way a person looks for other people for approval, because a person recognizes he's got his own kriches. The pasuk carries on. I haven't got time to go into it in detail. B'chamukei v'chayich k'moi chaloi ma'asei de'omo. The Gemara in Sukkah tells us Chamukei v'chayich is the hidden thigh. Chamukei means hidden, v'chayich your legs. K'boi chaloim, or like jewelry, like ornaments. Ma'asei de'omon, the workman, of the handiwork of a craftsman. And Chazal tells us it's referring to the luchos. The luchos were beautiful jewelry made by the greatest craftsman of all time, it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Chamukei v'chayich, they were given b'seisa, b'tzniyos. And the Gemara there says that a person, that a person's avodas Hashem has to be b'tznius. And the question, what's the connection between the first half of the pasuk and the second half of the pasuk? And the idea is like this, that when Kaisel walked to the Beis HaMikdash, they took it as we started off, they walked by foot, they walked by anivus with humility. But they didn't do it with a feeling of that there's nothing good about themselves. They did it with the chashivus of themselves. When a person has a true sense of his own value, he does not need to show other people what he's done right. Because he himself is happy with what he's done. A person who doesn't have that, a person who feels he's got nothing, he needs other people to approve of him. Tesla writes this in the end of Chilek Aleph, that why are these people so keen to hear from other people praise, is because since they're not convinced of themselves that they have any true value, they hope that by other people telling them praise, that will quieten their own feeling that there's nothing good about themselves. So they constantly need to hear from other people that I'm okay. If you hear from other people, okay, so therefore maybe I must be okay. But the pasuk here is describing how Kaisel went, Lemaisa, Mitzvah Hashem will all be zeicha to go takel aliyah l'regel. This, if not, chas shom or not, at least let's learn some of the lessons from it. And the ikon nekuda, the one we spend most time, is this nekuda that they walked by foot. They walked by foot for the achdus. Tremendous unity in Klai Yisrael, the Gemara we learned yesterday in Daf Yomi, that on Yom Tov, everybody is considered Toi, even Amaratzim, to increase the Achdus. There was a tremendous unity. Not everybody tried to walk together, didn't try to outdo each other. And the second Nekudah is they wanted to hear Dvar Hashem. You want to hear Dvar Hashem, you first have to be ready, open your mind. The way you open your mind is by not behaving in an arrogant manner. And finally, that they walked because they wanted to get every step. They recognized they were coming closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, coming to the Hamikdash. And for us, every time we walk to shul, every time we go to shul, we have to be aware that every footstep that we do walking to shul, you're coming closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you're in b'difnei HaMelech. Shul b'zeichet HaKadosh to be mekayim fully this posuk, mayofu for mayich banolim bas nodiv. Amen.